Good evening. I'd like to give you all a warm welcome as we gather here to worship and to praise our God as we come to learn from him, learn about him and be directed through his word. Welcome if you're joining us online, and we pray that we would each know God's blessing. Psalm 67 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us." And wouldn't that be great if we could go out of this service tonight knowing that God has been with us, God has blessed us, and his face has shone on us. We're going to sing our first song, which is "Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you." And let's stand with the music. Should we commit our time to God in prayer? Let's pray. Father God, we come echoing the sentiments of the words that we've just sang. Here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you're our God. Lord, we know that you're so beautiful. We know that you are worthy of so much praise. We know that we are so unworthy. But we ask that would be the spirit that we come to you this evening. And we pray that you would be with us. We pray that your face would shine upon us. We pray that you would give us peace. We pray that you would bless us. We ask as we come under your word that we would hear what you say to us and that our lives would be transformed as you teach us. We ask this for your honour and glory. Amen. Well, we're going to read Psalm 80. So Psalm 80, which is on page 491 in the Chapel Bibles. or on the screen behind me. As we read through the psalm, there's a chorus that kind of repeats itself. And just keep an eye out for that chorus as I read through. Psalm 80, page 491. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea, and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. We're going to sing our next thing, which is a psalm. Our next song is a psalm, which is this Psalm 80. As we sing it, we've got some choruses, and we have two well-known tunes. The verses are to one tune, and the chorus is a slightly different tune, but a well-known tune. Be still and know that I am God. Is that right, John? So John's going to play the hymn chorus, and then we'll pick up the chorus when he plays it. Thank you, John. Shall we turn again to our God in prayer? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in prayer, acknowledging that you are almighty, acknowledging that you are sovereign over all, acknowledging that you are eternal. Lord, we come before you knowing that you are the same yesterday, you are the same today, and that you are the same forever. We come before you acknowledging that you are timeless. But as creation speaks about you, we think of the vastness of the oceans. We think of the height of the mountains. We think of the number of the stars. And you are far greater than all of those. We think of the beauty that there is in the trees as they change colour, in the various landscapes that you have created, in the number of types of the birds, the animals. And Lord, that is just a small reflection of your beauty. And Lord, we come before you and we acknowledge as we look at ourselves how small we are, yet how big sometimes we think we are. We come and acknowledge that we have sinned. We have fallen. We need to come to you, Lord, in a spirit of repentance as we think back on the week we just lived, as we think back on just on today. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us. We thank you. We thank you that you're a God of love. We thank you that you're a God who is gracious and merciful. That you're a God who draws us back to you. We thank you that that is possible through what your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did. We thank you for his willingness to die on the cross, to take the brunt of your anger. Lord, to take the punishment that we deserve, so that we can be free, so that we can have peace with you. Lord, we thank you for his willingness to do that. We thank you, Father God, that he rose again, and he's now seated at your right hand in the heavens above. He's now seated interceding for us as our great high priest. And Father God, we pray that in our lives we would bow to your Son as the King. Help us to deny self. Help us to, as we read your word, as we're taught from your word, to follow him as we live our lives. And we thank you that one day we will be going to that place where there is no crying, where sin is no more. Lord, that place when we pass from this life into eternity, for those who know you, for those who have trusted in your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that each of us here would be found singing his praises for all eternity. We ask that if there are any here who do not know you, we pray the Holy Spirit would be working in their lives. We ask that he would be convicting them of their sin, that he would be showing them their need of a Saviour. We ask, Lord God, that in your mercy, that tonight, if it is your will, someone will come into your kingdom because you have saved them. Lord, we come before you and we want to thank you for the opportunities that we've had today to speak about you, whether that be in Rooted or in Thrive. Lord, we pray that you would bless those children, Lord, that have been taught your word. We ask that that word would be like seed gone into the ground. We pray that their hearts are ground that is prepared to receive your word. We pray that you would bring forth, Lord, we pray that young lives will come to know you as their Saviour. We pray that you would be preparing a generation to follow you. Lord God, we ask that through the endeavours of our teachers, you would bring fruit to your honour and your glory. Lord, we want to commit our individual lives to you. Lord, you know the details of every one of our life. You know the things that get us down. You know the things that give us joy. And Lord, we pray that as you look down on our lives, that we would be committing them to you in prayer. Lord, whether we need help, Lord, whether we need reassurance, Lord, whether we need peace, whether we need strengthening, we pray that you would be with us and provide just what we need. May we be looking to you as that great friend, as that comforter, as we go through this life that is full of troubles, that is full of sorrows. Lord God, we want to remember John and Esther. We pray for them as they have a few days away. We ask that you give them both a break. May they be refreshed mentally, physically and spiritually. Lord, may they know your presence with them in this time of rest. Lord, we commit to you James Swanson as well in America. We pray you'd help him as he does deputation there. We pray that you'd bless him as he goes to the conference there. And we pray that he would be growing closer to you as you teach him to. We ask that you would be with the work in Northern Cyprus. We pray you would bless Andrew and Daphne and Phil and Diane and those who are left behind. We thank you that Phil continues to get better and improve, and we pray that he would continue to recover. We ask that fruit would be born to your honour and glory from the work there in Northern Cyprus. And as we think of our friends abroad, we commit to you Rosie in Papua New Guinea and ask that you would bless her there in her work. Lord God, again, we come to you and ask that you would be with John as he brings your word to us tonight. We pray that you would speak to us. We pray that your face would shine upon us. We pray that our lives would be transformed so that we become more like the Lord Jesus. We ask for your honour and glory. Amen. So we've got our third song is God, whose almighty word, chaos and darkness heard and took their flight. Lord, we ask that you stand as the music starts.
If you feel away from God and under a dark cloud personally, Or maybe you feel that so much of the church is at a low ebb, and that gets you down. Or maybe you feel that despite many blessings here, there are things that are discouraging about the work of the gospel. You look around at the nation and you see it as so dark and godless. You long for final, full blessing of God's presence. Well, if you feel any of those things, or a combination of those things, it will give you an entrance, I think, into the wonderful psalm that we're looking at this evening. It's a psalm of sadness, longing and prayer. It's a psalm desperate for better days. It's a psalm which is a community lament, a sadness expressed together, sad at the situation of God's people. It's Psalm 80 that we're looking at this evening. It was probably written at the time when the northern kingdom of Israel had been taken over by the Assyrians. It fits that context. It makes a sense of the fact that it's referenced mainly to northern tribes in verse 2. Although it is a psalm of Asaph, Asaph lived in earlier days. Asaph is probably a style, it's probably a group, it's a background to the people that wrote this particular psalm. And what's its main note? Well, you can see, because it's repeated. Partly why we sung that second song, which was a little bit strange for us, but it was actually really good at going through the psalm, and you had those three times where it was a bit different, and perhaps you noticed, Martin encouraged us to look as we read through, like a chorus that occurs three times in the psalm. Did you see it there? If you've got it open, have a look. You'll see there in verse 3, restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. And similar in verse 7, restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine that we may be saved. Final verse, verse 19, restore us, O Lord God of hosts, let your face shine that we may be saved. So that's the heartbeat of the psalm. And that's a sort of prayer that we can pray or go away with this evening. And it has twin concerns, doesn't it? There's a concern for God to restore them. And there's a concern for God to shine on them. To restore them and to shine on them. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. To be restored, to be back to where they should be, bring us back to where we should be, to the land which should be ours. Restore us to the land, but probably more than that, restore us to where we should be before you, as a nation that loves its God and walks in his ways and has a soft heart. Restore us. Perhaps you feel that need personally. Maybe you say, I'm a broken woman or I'm a broken man and I want to be mended and restored and I want things to be right. Or you look at the church, perhaps many of us do look at the church and we want restoration. We sort of say along the lines of the song, restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. In works of sovereign power, come shake the earth again. Wants restoration. But also, he wants God to shine. God's face to shine. God's direction and attributes to be towards them. Wants God to break through, to encourage, to cheer, to brighten, to direct. you get the sun through different windows in your house, probably, at different times of the day. Maybe it affects where you sit at different times of the day. You like the sun to come through. And as I prepared Friday morning, I was at my desk in my study, and about sort of 10 o'clock at this time of year, and the sun was just beautifully coming through right on me. Sort of autumn sun was blazing. I enjoyed its warmth. I enjoyed its optimism. You think of times when you're on holiday, it's only just a bit warmish. It's a cloudy day, especially if you're outside. Don't you just love it when the clouds move along and the sun shines on you and can absorb it and you can be warmed? It makes such a difference. Yesterday morning we headed to Nottingham. It started off, it was dark and it was wet for the first 2 hours of the journey. And it was quite miserable on the motorway. Thankfully in the afternoon we're there with our daughter Beth and we have a lovely walk around Woolerton Park, just part of Nottingham, and the sun is blazing and it's transformational and different. And here the person wants the glow of God's grace. Lord, give us the warmth of your help. Give us reasons for joy as a community. It doesn't feel like the sun is shining to this psalm writer. Every day at the temple there is the Aaronic blessing announced, and it includes this: the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And that is said in the temple, but it doesn't feel like that in the nation, especially in parts of the nation, especially up north, where the Assyrians have taken over the tribes and the land, and the people are in shame and in exile. And this prayer matches an aching longing for God to restore and to shine. Well, we live in different times to this psalm, to the gospel age, and that does bring a difference, and we'll see that as we go on. But I think there are times when the desperate echo of a longing for revival is in our heart. And maybe now is such a time. Churches are often, not always thankfully, but often small and struggling. There are sad failures sometimes in the life of Christian leaders. There's sometimes a lack of unity in the church. Sometimes gospel efforts seem to come to so little. And maybe a prayer like this, looked at this evening, gives an avenue for voice to the Lord over the situation. Last week, some of us looked here at the valley of dry bones and the need for God's marvellous life. This week, we look at a depleted dark nation and we see the need for God's light. So we're going to go through the psalm. We're going to feel its concern. We're going to feel its progression. And then we're going to have a second slide at the end. And we're going to try and land it in three ways. It makes sense when we get there. I wanted to try and land it in three ways, which I think would be helpful. So we tee off, if you like, in verses 1 and 2 this evening. And in verses 1 and 2 we have, God, we need your attention. God, we need your attention. You see the urgency of verses 1 and 2. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. It's bold. It's earnest. It's desperate. It almost feels out of place to be so bold towards God. There are four requests rolled into two verses. Give ear. Shine forth. Stir up. come and save. And as he sets off in this prayerful, urgent desperation, as they express as a community how they feel, they do so very conscious of God and to whom they're coming to, which is significant. You see how they state who God is in verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. It seems to me that their consciousness of God is quite linked with the concerns that they have and what they're praying for. They need restoration. And they're conscious that God is the shepherd of Israel. He restores my soul. Psalm 23, the shepherd. They so want God to shine his face, to shine forth. And they come to somebody who they say is enthroned upon the cherubim, who's amongst the angelic beings, who's worshipped by them, who is the God of glory. Sometimes the angels are thought of as the shining ones. So it is to this God who is the shepherd of his people, to this God who is the glorious God, the shining, radiant one, who they come, and it gives some optimism just from the outset, doesn't it? It's good for us to recall who we come to as we pray. And it leads on to the first rendition, if you like, of the chorus. This is the answer. This is what we want. This is where it's heading. Verse 3. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. And so we've, if you like, teed off. And we're going to follow the ball in the psalm as it goes up in the air. And as we carry on in the psalm, we have this in the next few verses. God, we have longing and grief. God, we have longing and grief. In his perplexity, he has some deep questions. There's one here and one a bit later we'll come to. Here's the first one in verse 4. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? How long? A Bible cry that will be in the song that we sing to close at the end of the service. How long? He senses God is angry with their prayers. So he's acknowledging that they have been wayward and that God's just wrath has been exercised towards them. And their current weakness is just so painful. Verses 5 and 6, you have fed us with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. The tears have been regular. And the tears, so they're like bread, they're just ongoing there. And the tears have been plenty. Been a bowl full of tears. They feel they are a laughing stock before others. God's people, a laughing stock. And isn't it a bit like that sometimes in the life of a church, or as we're concerned for the churches around? We don't overlook God's blessing. We're so thankful where it occurs. But it sometimes feels that a place is a little chapel where no one goes. That we feel that we're seen as an old-fashioned group. A group of strange beliefs. A group that are seen as largely irrelevant to modern day society. It's so untrue. It's so against what's taught in God's word. There's a message that we want to get out, but that's how others see us. And your heart sinks. Psalm 44 is a similar psalm. In fact, I nearly spoke from it until I realised I spoke from it last year and thought perhaps I ought not to speak from it again. But Psalm 44 is of a similar ilk. And let me read verses 11 to 14 of that psalm. You have made us like sheep for slaughter and have scattered us among the nations. You have sold your people for a trifle, demanding no high price for them. You have made us the taunt of our neighbours, the derision and scorn of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. Verses which are borrowed in the New Testament. And he would like it so different from what it is. And so he prays again. Verse 7. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. And although the chorus occurs three times, and although the words are very similar, there is growth and development within them and within the psalm. And here he adds to the description of God. Verse 7, restore us, O God of hosts. That wasn't there in verse 3. O God of hosts. What's that mean? That's the Lord of heaven's armies. The Lord of the angels. The Lord over all spiritual powers. You who are so powerful, you who have endless resources, come, work, hear us, visit us. So he's got to that prayer again a second time. And then the psalm carries on. It carries on in this way. God, you have worked greatly in the past. God, you have worked greatly in the past. Lord, it hasn't always been like this. Your power has been displayed. You have worked in amazing ways. His mind goes back to Egypt, when little captive Israel was in Egypt with just such a few people and dominated by a great superpower. But then God did a great work. And he rescued his people out of that superpower. And he placed them into a land of their own. It was as if God had taken something and planted a precious vine which would grow in the land. Verses 8 and 9. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. And as it was planted in the promised land, well, at first it flourished. And in the days of David and Solomon, it was spreading well to the Mediterranean Sea and to the river Euphrates. It reached Lebanon with its cedars. It was a force to be reckoned with. Verses 10 and 11. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. God worked wonderfully in the past, according to his promise, blessing his people. They were respected. The Queen of Sheba gasped at Solomon in all his wisdom and his nation. Things were good. Verse 12, why then have you broken down its walls? This is a second question. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by along by the way pluck its fruit? And he sees the situation as ruined and God's people as consumed. Verse 13, the boar from the forest ravages it and all that move in the field feed on it. Now, it's not a national psalm for the UK. We have to be a bit careful about that. But we can feel some similar concerns in our national life as we see the scene today. Our country at one stage was called the land of the book. Wouldn't be now. Couldn't be now. We sent missionaries out. So many of the missionaries went from our country. Now the missionaries are coming in from the States. How grateful they are. There were periods of rapid growth of churches with new buildings as the gospel spread. And now so often there seems to be decline. Well, it leads on further to more urgent prayer. As he says, really, God, see the situation and empower our situation and people. In verses 13 to 18, there are five more urgent requests. You have a look, you can see some urgent requests. Turn again, verse 14. Look down, verse 14. Have regard or visit, verse 14. Verse 17, but let your hand be on the man of your right hand. Verse 18, give us life. He wants God to be powerfully at work. He wants God's hand of might to come upon the nation. And verse 17 seems to have a figure in mind. It may originally have referred to Israel, particularly itself as a nation, the sun. But even some of the Jewish translations see it as pointing towards the Messiah. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the Son of Man, whom you have made strong for yourself. Looking forward to God coming down and seeing the situation and rescuing and putting things right. Looking forward to the clouds dispersing and the sunshine coming through. Looking forward to the whole scene being different because God has been gracious and powerful to the scene. Looking for something which lasts, verse 18, then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life and we will call on your name. And then he comes to the end of the psalm and we come to the third chorus in verse 19. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. He's got to that point again. And he's saying the same again. Well, he's saying almost the same again. He's saying a bit more again in the third chorus. He's added to it from the second. Do you see that it's different? Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. He adds another divine title this third time. Lord, Yahweh, God's covenant name. A name which implies God's commitment to his people. A name which implies God's promise and his presence and his committed love to them. Lord, you are God of power, the Lord of hosts. But you are also our God. You are Yahweh. You are the Lord you've committed to be with your people. God of power and grace. Restore us. Shine on us that we might be saved. Lord, you are able. Lord, you are willing. So you see the psalm, and I hope as we've gone through the psalm, part of the response, not only, as we come on to it, but a thrust of it is to be praying that maybe personally for yourself in your situation, maybe for us as a church here, maybe for this town, maybe for the church in this country and the countries you're concerned for, that you feel that prayer. So we've sort of followed the ball, if you like, through the psalm. But where do we land it? Where is it right to land this psalm? You play golf, and which I don't really, but if you do, you play golf, and you the hole can be in different places on the green, can't it? It's to sort of spread around the tread and the wear of the green. And so where you aim for and where the ball is to land could be in different places depending on quite the stage you go, time of year you go. I was talking to somebody who knows a bit more than me this morning about Boar's Head. Boar's Head, I've had a couple of rounds of humiliation in the past, but it's nothing I go to or have been to for a few years. But apparently the sixth green is a long green. It's a sort of hot dog shaped green. And so you can, depending on what times, you could have the hole, the flag could be at the middle or the bottom. And you have a near flag or a middle flag or an end flag. And that's where you're looking for the ball to land. Well, I think as we think about how best to apply this psalm to us in New Testament times, I think we can land it in three different places, really. I want to go through them, mention them briefly. We can have a near hole, if you like, an early hole, an early landing of fulfillment. And I think as Christians we do need to do this. And I'm not sure I would have done this 20 years ago or so if I preached from this. I would have only gone for the middle hole probably. But there's a near hole. And the near hole is to enjoy the fulfillment of this longing in Jesus. The Psalms already pointed us to the Messiah. And Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, and he has come. And God has shined on us. And in our personal brokenness and lostness, there is restoration. And we can bask in the wonder of his love. And the clouds of our sin and guilt and condemnation have passed away. The light has come. The longing of the psalm is partly fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah. John 1 verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world, says John, and it has done in Christ. Do you remember the song we sometimes look at Christmas, Zechariah's prophecy? Because the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. So the light has come. God has shined. God has restored. And if you're feeling personal brokenness, that's what I would want to point you to this evening, to the coming of the light through the coming of Jesus. The Good Shepherd has come and given his life for the sheep. The true vine has come, given life to his people and all those who believe in him. And we can say, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the near hole, the near landing of this psalm, which I think I would have overlooked before, is enjoy this is fulfilled in Christ. The middle hole, if you like, the middle part of the green where it lands. The middle hole is pray this for the church. Because all what I've just said about the coming of Christ is wonderfully true. But the New Testament also makes clear that the church, as God's people, has its struggles in this period. That it has its ups, that it has its downs, that it has its battles, that it has its failures, that it has its disappointments. Psalm 44, which I'll refer to, is quoted in Romans 8 as describing the experience of the church now, just to give you some biblical backing. And we groan. And we perhaps hear of another Christian leader who has not behaved as they should and has to step down from their responsibility, and we groan deeply. And we hear of another church where there is sad disunity and division, and we're sad with them and for them and for the honour of God. We grow. And we hear of another gospel outreach which has required a lot of effort, and there seems comparatively little success. And we groan. And we enter into something of this community lament of this psalm. And we say, verse 19, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." And maybe this evening encourages your prayerfulness, my prayerfulness, for revival, for God's love and power to be especially at work, as he has done in previous times and in other areas, to work in mighty power and in grace. It's really the prayer, isn't it? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. So that's the middle hole, I think we can land it. It's relevant to that. That's perhaps the main thrust of what I've been feeling this evening, that we can pick up a prayer like this and say, "Oh yes, Lord, this is what we want to pray for in our current plight." But there's a far hole, if you like, on the green. It can land further. It does land further. And the far hole is to anticipate this in glory. The answer to the longing and prayer of Psalm 80 will be finally and fully experienced in glory. In Revelation, we're told that there's nothing that defiles in glory. When we're with Christ, which is far better, there's nothing that spoils it. There's nothing that mars it. There's nothing that causes us to groan in glory. That's where God's purposes of love, power and grace are ultimately fulfilled. That's where this prayer will ultimately be fulfilled. That's where we will be thrilled with the sense of the enjoyment of what God has brought about for his people and achieved through the work of Jesus, his Son. Christine Bird passed away, as you know, a few weeks ago we had her funeral. You may know Christine Bird was Stanley Delves' daughter. He was the pastor here for many years, over 50 years. I referred to him in the funeral. And I mentioned then that in looking into his life and just making some links, I came across his first sermon ever. And his first sermon ever was preached in November 1919, so 105 years ago. And it was preached on Revelation 21 and verse 3. So it points us to heaven. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." It's all restored. It's back as it was intended. It's back to what it should be. That's the final fulfillment of this longing cry. And shining restoration in heaven? Shining is the prayer for God to shine, fulfilled in glory. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. 22 verse 5, last chapter of the Bible, verse 5. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So we're thankful for the wonderful fulfillment of this longing in Christ now, as the light has come. Through its toils and tribulations, if I can put it like that, we long for God's great kind blessing on the church through this struggling period. But we can also come away from a psalm like this with a sense of anticipation for how wonderfully God will finally, fully fulfill all these things in glory. Well, we're going to sing a song to finish. We started our song really on the near whole, as we were saying about the light of the world coming down to be among us. Our final song really focuses on holes in the middle and at the end. The longings for God's blessing now, and then the final fulfillment in glory. So it is the song How Long, or We Have Sung Our Songs of Victory, and We Have Prayed to You for Rain. we thank you for this psalm in your word. We thank you for the way in which it is fulfilled in the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. For the transformation that so many of us have experienced through coming to know him. And yet, Lord, as we live our life, especially in this nation at this time, we see the sadness and the weakness, it seems, of the church. We feel the sadness of the lack of expansion of the gospel compared to previous times and other countries. And we pray, Lord, for your gracious work. Please, Lord, hear our prayers. Please restore us. Please shine through so that within the church and beyond the church, our friends, our neighbours, our families, our communities around us may themselves bask in the wonderful love and grace of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you that there is a day coming. A day coming when these sadnesses and struggles and divisions and disappointments will be behind us. And we will know in such full radiance and such wonderful enjoyment the glory of Christ and the outshining of your brilliance. So help us, Lord, to feel thankful and prayerful and anticipating. As we leave this psalm, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.